With that ominous sound, we're back now to the Feast of Atonement during the thought for today. Feast of Atonement, which is also called Yom Kippur by many, many Jews. And in the year 2012, that's on the ninth month, the 27th day, and it begins the previous evening at sunset. So on the 26th, it began at around 7:03 on the West Coast, and continued throughout the entire day of the 27th up until the evening there around 7:02 p.m. It's very significant, a time of fasting and prayer. We find from Leviticus 23, "Speak unto the children of Israel concerning the feasts. This is a feast of Yahweh. And in verse 24, that's Leviticus 23:23, Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel. Now that's all those Israelites and Judahs, Yehudites, and everyone who's been grafted into the good olive tree, the strangers, Greeks, and who are grafted into the olive tree, and Israelites, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work therein." Now that was for the Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah. "And you shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh." Verse 26, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of this seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a separated convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh, your mighty one." Now, of course, the Messiah has paid for our sins. There's no works that we can do, according to many, many scriptures, including Ephesians 2:8 through 10, Ephesians 2, "For by faith we saved through the unmerited favor of Yahweh, not by works, lest any man should boast, but we are saved unto good works. So this day of atonement you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. You shall do no work in that day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh, your mighty one. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people." And the word afflicted means to submit yourself, to chasten, or to humble, to be humbled, to submit yourself. And we do this by abstaining from all foods and from most drinks, depending upon a person's health. "Whatsoever soul it be that does any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath of shalom, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even until even, from sunset till sunset shall you celebrate your Sabbath." So we're celebrating this Day of Atonement. And next we're going to be turning to Numbers 29 to also speak about this day. Numbers 29, previous chapter there told us when to reckon the beginning of the year, Numbers 28:11, "And in the beginnings of your months you shall offer a burnt offering unto Yahweh." So Numbers 29, and this is verse 7, "You shall have on the tenth day of the seventh month a separated convocation, and you shall afflict your souls. You shall not do any work therein, but you shall offer a burnt offering unto Yahweh for a sweet savor." Now these are the offerings that, at least the sin offerings, were done away with at Calvary. And that's according to Hebrews chapter 9 and 10 and many other places throughout Scripture. The sin offerings were added laws. But there's also praise offerings here that we see continuing into the new millennium in the New Testament time. So we are not certain about the offerings here. Some people may choose to do that. But you shall offer a burnt offering unto Yahweh for a sweet savor. One young bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year, they shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering shall be a flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals to a bullock and 2/10 deals to a ram, a several tenth deal of one lamb throughout the seven lambs. One kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the sin offering of atonement, and the continual burnt offering and the meat offering of it, and their drink offerings. Numbers 29, verse 12, speaks of another feast. And on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a separated convocation. You shall do no servile work. And you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. So that's the Feast of Tabernacles. Then there's an eighth day there. That's the last great day, a great celebration in Yahweh's feasts. Something that goes along with fasting. Well, before we get that far, no, before we turn that far, we can go to Leviticus 16, that is. I knew it. And it talks about what is to be done by the priest in the Old Testament times. Speaks of the Azazel, the escape goat. And so we'll highlight some of these scriptures. Leviticus 16:8, Aaron shall cast lots upon two goats, one lot for Yahweh, and the other lot for the escape goat. You could also see in Nehemiah 11:1, Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yahweh's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat in which the lot fell to be the escape shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make an atonement with him and to let him go for an escape into the wilderness. And we'll skip to verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. So lay upon the head of the live goat. And all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Now, that is not to make an atonement for our sins, but to put the blame upon him. And who is he? What does this live goat represent? Not the Messiah, because he is offered for our sins. Yes, he is the first goat. Now the second goat, I believe, represents HaSatan, the devil. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation. So that is found there in Leviticus 16, verse 29, this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country, so an Israelite or a Yehudite or Jewish man or woman, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger. So that's a Greek, a Gentile person, a Grecian person that has been grafted in. Or a stranger that sojourns among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and a statute forever. Verse 34, the end of the chapter, and this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year, as he did as Yahweh commanded Moses. Now, it's obvious that our sins are all can be forgiven if they're repented of, and in the hands of the Messiah, they are forgiven. Hallel. Praise Yah. It's very important to be able to observe Yahweh's feast days. And not the holidays of the world. By careful study, we can come up with the proper dates. The Feast of Trumpets, or the blowing of trumpets, was earlier in the seventh month. And in the year 2012, it was found on the evening of the 17th, going into the day of the 18th, 9/18/2012 was the Feast of Trumpets, according to our reckoning. Other people may reckon it, and other denominations, groups, secular people may observe that day. They might observe it a day after that. But anyway, that's when we have done it. The final trumpet sound there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Feast of Trumpets, is symbolized in that that great second coming of the Anointed One, the Messiah, Yahusha. The Day of Atonement was found there about the escape goat, and the one that was offered for our sins, the first goat, Leviticus 16. We read in Leviticus 23, verse 27 through 32. We read in Numbers 29, verse 7. And next is coming up Isaiah 58 and 59. Isaiah 58 gives us the purpose for fasting on this Day of Atonement. 58, verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. You go and I can hear right now the logging trucks going past our synagogue, and they shouldn't be doing that, but they don't. The drivers don't know any better. They have no idea that anything else is going on other than labor today. You exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. So they're fasting for the wrong reasons, the wrong motives there. Their hearts were certainly not in the right place, but they were still fasting. At least they were doing the mechanics of it, but their hearts just weren't in it. The understanding was not in their heart. The love had not been put in there, the full gift of repentance by the Spirit of Yahweh. So Isaiah 58:4, behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist to the wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, or bow down his head, you know, as stubbornly, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him, in vanity and trying to impress other people? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to Yahweh, the fast of atonement? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here's the reason that he has chosen in Isaiah 58, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. So, loose the bands of wickedness. There's a lot of that going on, sexual immorality. It's, about the next thing is going to be pedophilia, and then after that will be bestiality. That will be voting, you and I won't, but they'll be voting for a president who believes that bestiality is acceptable. And it will just seem like, well, why not? And so undo the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free. So we do need heavy burdens to be lifted, and the oppressed to go free, and that you break every yoke. So that's why this time of year we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, not just for every sort of booth that's set up there to that sells on whatever day, but for those peoples whose hearts are really stayed on Yahweh. Perhaps some Christians, perhaps some Orthodox Jews, and certainly some Messianics and Hebraics. So we're going to break every yoke. We're going to cast out evil demons in the name of the Messiah, the Anointed One. Is it not to, in verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And we're just going to go out and give money away to poor, indiscriminate people? No, we're going to do that with people who really need help, and, you know, who sincerely need help, but who are also sincere in following Yahusha, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who died for our sins, to deal thy bread to those hungry and those that bring the poor and they're cast out of thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The esteem of Yahweh shall be thy reward. So there's a promise that your health shall spring forth speedily. Well, sometimes we don't see the answers to some of these promises here yet. Sometimes there's a good reason for it, that we abuse ourselves, or that we're into rebellion and disobedience. That could be a reason there. Maybe it's neither. Maybe there's some other reason we don't even know. Isaiah 58:9, then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away, another promise there, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou, the putting forth of the finger, you probably know what that is, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness will be as the noonday. And Yahweh shall guide thee continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and make fat your bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. There is another promise. You'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If, now there's the condition, if you turn your foot to the Sabbath, not from it, but to the Sabbath. I don't know how they get these crazy words in there. To the Sabbath. Turn your foot to the Sabbath. And to now they put that on italics, the word from. That's the proper meaning there. From doing thy pleasure on my separated day. And if you call the Sabbath a delight, separated of Yahweh, honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. So there's a lot of not doing things there. We need to call his day a delight, need it to be honorable, and honor him. And we're not to do our own ways, nor finding our own pleasure, nor speaking our own words. You know, well, I did this to the car, and I've slapped up some paint on the house and on the boat here, and I got a new schooner and a new scooter and so on. You know, I got this, I got that. Yeah, but yeah. Verse 14, yeah, we don't want any idle-like conversation like that. Then shalt thou delight thyself in Yahweh, and I will cause thee, that's Yahweh, the Almighty Father, or his Son, and doing it through his Son, Yahusha, I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. That's literally the high places of the earth, not the places of idolatry, but the highest temple, the highest, it could be in the Rocky Mountains somewhere, you know, a beautiful spot there. And he will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Yes, there's some beautiful spots even around Jerusalem. We might go to Mount Horeb, Mount Tabor, you know, all the blessed places that Yahweh has created that we can enjoy. So we've been speaking about the feasts today, on a thought for today, especially this Feast of Atonement, or what is called Yom Kippur. Numbers 5, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit, to do a trespass against Yahweh, then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense or offer restitution for his trespass. That's found in Numbers 5. So we're gonna confess our sins not to another man, necessarily. Well, we could confess them to one another, like the Scripture says, but more than that, we need to confess them to our Almighty Savior, the one who died for us on the tree. Numbers 15, but the soul that does aught presumptuously, or refuses to confess his sins and to repent, because he has despised the word of Yahweh and has broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. Deuteronomy 4. When you are in tribulation in the latter days, if you turn to Yahweh, thy mighty one, and shall be obedient unto his voice, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant. 1 Kings 8 is about Solomon's prayer. 1 Kings 8, 1 Kings 21, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 33, about Manasseh. Job 11:14. Psalm 51. And we haven't done Isaiah 59 yet, so we're going to get to this in a moment. And also in the newer scriptures, 1 John 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mark 1, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Repent and believe the evangel, the gospel. Mark 2:17, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And also that 1 John 1:8 and 9 that we read. Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Luke 24, it behooved Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 20:28, the synagogue of Yahweh, which he has purchased with his own blood. Romans 3, being justified freely by his unmerited favor, through the redemption that is in Yahusha, the Messiah, the Anointed, whom Yahweh has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood for the remission, the passing over of sins that are past, through the forbearance of Yahweh. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. 1 Corinthians 15, Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the richness of his unmerited favor. Ephesians 2, we quoted earlier, verse 13, but now in Yahusha Messiah, you who sometimes were far off are made close by the blood of Messiah, for he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. For through him we, that's Israel and the Greeks, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of the Anointed One, the Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. The blood of Messiah cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Messiah cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 1, the Messiah who loved us washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's chapter 1, verse 5 of the Revelation, talks about Yahusha. Chapter 5, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to Yahweh by thy blood, speaking of the Messiah. Chapter 7. 7:14, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And there's many more. Revelation 12:11, and they, Yahweh's people, overcame him, overcame Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And then we go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it can't save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your lawlessness, your iniquities have separated between you and Yahweh, and your sins have hid his face from you, and that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calls for right ruling or justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. Verse 8, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. They shall not know shalom. Verse 13, in transgressing and lying against Yahweh, and departing away from Yahweh, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, where truth has fallen in the street, and equity can't enter. The word equity there used in English in the King James Version. Isaiah 59:15, yea, truth prevails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. Yahweh saw that, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered where there was, that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. I believe all that symbolism there speaks of Yahusha the Messiah. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So to all the nations out there which have rebelled against Yahweh. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his power from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. Where is that standard? It's been lost even by the Protestant world, by the Catholic world. Some of the assemblies may not have ever had a standard to begin with, but if they had, they pretty well lost it. Well, just to, you know, walk into an assembly today, and at first it appears that everything is just ducky, everything is fine. But if you really get right down to it, right down to where the rubber meets the road, they say, we find out that nothing is actually required of you. Just raise your right hand, and Yahweh will take you into heaven with no commitment, no covenant, not even any repentance is required, the way some would talk. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer, with a capital R, Redeemer, shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from their transgression in Jacob, saith Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh. And you can turn to Hebrews 8 or Hebrews 10 for what the covenant is. This is my covenant with them, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. That was Isaiah 59. It's impossible to hide Yahweh's word. We've been listening about Yom Kippur, Feast of Atonement. I'm Stephen Yah of www.yahweh.name. Shalom.